Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, everybody that's been mentioned, Lord, there are those that are answered prayers, those that we're anticipating, Lord, that you're going to see everybody through these times. And then there's also those that we're adding and asking for, that you begin to do a work in their life. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would as we lift each of these prayer requests up to you, that you would minister to each one, lead, guide, and direct. Lord, we ask for your guidance tonight as we look at your word. Lord, we ask that you just be with us and through this week, that you be with us during our time of business, that, Lord, everything that's said and done in this place today would bring praise and glory and honor to you. We love you and we praise you. It's in your name. Amen. I heard a very good story a long time ago, and I honestly can't remember if I shared it with y'all or not. It was a story about a man that was driving what they call a Petco truck. Now, that's a kind of like PetSmart truck. And there was a guy that was following him, and he began to notice every intersection that he came to when the light was red, the truck driver would jump out of the truck with a big old tuba fore in his hand, and he'd just go around the truck hitting the side walls of this panel truck. He'd jump back in the truck and go to the next stoplight. He'd get out with his tuba fore, bang on the side of the truck all the way around, walk around it, banging on it, get back in it, take off again. And he did this every stoplight that he came to. This guy just kept following him, was just intrigued, couldn't figure out what he was doing. Finally, curiosity got the best of him, and so the man pulled up to finally got off, off from there and was to where he was heading to, I guess. And the guy asked him, he said, "Sir, I'm sorry, I know you're busy, but," he said, "I just got to wonder." He said, "I've been following you for 3 or 4 miles now. Every stoplight you came to, you came out with a two before, you banged the side of your truck, and you got back in and left." He goes, What's the deal?" He said, I'm sorry, my curiosity's got the best of me. What are you doing?" And the truck driver said, and I'll just read it to you. He said, "Buddy," he said, "I've got 2 tons of canaries in this truck. This is a 1-ton truck. And so I have to keep half of them in the air at all times." Now, every time I think of that story, I think that is a pretty good illustration for your life and my life. Amen? It seems like we have to keep half the stuff up in the air, don't we? Because the load that we're carrying is so heavy, we're overloaded with things to do. And that's why I wanted us to look at, we've been looking in this idea about the Jesus example. And Jesus gives us a very practical example of how to lighten our loads, how to make our lives simpler. You could call it stress relief if you want to, how to reduce stress. There's a lot of different topics and ideas that we could look at. We could call it of what we're looking at. But I want to share with you very quickly 3 things from the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, that Jesus says, this: if you do 3 things, then you're not going to have to run around your truck with a two-by-four on it, banging the sidewalls to keep half the load up in the air. It will relieve your stress. He says this in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy and weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want us to look at that. First of all, if you notice down your sheet, I've listed 3 words for you: come, take, and learn. So let's look at that first one, come. The first part of this passage tells us, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary." Well, I guess that's not what the translation is written there, but that's what the King James says. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. The first thing that we need to understand, the first thing we need to do to lighten our load, is we need to turn to Jesus. We need to turn to our Lord. We need to come to him with it. See, the biggest problem is we try to take care of all this stuff ourselves, don't we? We try to carry the burden all by ourselves. And the first thing that Jesus tells us, the very first thing answer, is that we need to come to him with it. Come unto me, all of you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. People came to Jesus for all kinds of reasons. They came to him for forgiveness. They came to him for answers. They came to him for healing, for salvation, for eternal life. And he says, that's fine, but you can also come to me for rest. You can come and I can help lighten your load. And that's what we need. We need rest. You need a soul rest. Now, I've told you all before, and I got in trouble at one point because some wives were telling me your husbands were going home and taking a nap, and they were telling you that I said they needed to rest on the Sabbath, and it's true. That's what the Bible tells us. But we also need a soul kind of rest as well. We need to be relieved of those burdens and be relieved of those worries. We need to be released from worry, released from tension, from stress, from guilt, from fear, from bitterness, from anxieties, all those things. If we don't, if we carry those around with us, that's why we get wore out. That's why we get wore out physically. That's why we get wore out spiritually, because we carry those things all the time. Jesus said, listen, the simple answer is, give it to me. Come to me with it. Come to me. Isaiah 40, verses 29 and then 31, he says, and he, being God, gives power to those who are tired and worn out, and he offers strength to the weak. Those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. I want you to circle that word, and I probably underlined it for you. I can't remember. Wait on, did I underline that for you? Yeah. You need to kind of circle that, wait on the Lord. Now, I also want you to notice another one. Did I underline a new strength for you in that passage? I want you to notice it says a new strength. When you wait on the Lord, it doesn't say that you get to use the rest of the strength that you had. It doesn't say that there's some strength that you really didn't know about but was there all the time. It says you get a new strength. If you look at that and if you spend some time searching out those words, you're going to discover it is a supernatural empowered strength. That is not a strength that you already had. That's something that's added to you when you wait on the Lord. Now, so the question is what is wait? When I say wait on the Lord, what do y'all think? What does that comes to mind? Somebody tell me. Do what? Okay, being patient. What else? I heard something else. So, do what? Be quiet. Okay. I was fixing to say, how do you wait on the Lord? Pray. Trust him. Everything everybody said. Okay. You have patience. You don't get in a hurry about the things. You be quiet. You know, you all know me. I like to put things where we all understand it. What that's talking about is shutting our mouths and sitting down and listening to what the Lord has to say. That's waiting on the Lord. That's not getting ahead of him, trying to run ahead. That's not trying to run and catch up to him. That's sitting still and zipping our mouths and listening with our ears and with our hearts what he has to say for us. He says when we do that, when we wait on the Lord, then he gives us a supernatural added on power, our strength to deal with these things. That kind of goes together, doesn't it? When he says he's not going to put anything upon us that we more than what we can endure. How can that be? Because a lot of times, I don't know about y'all, but there's been times in my life I thought, Lord, if this is not more than what I can endure, it's a whole lot more than what I thought I could endure. Amen? And it's because when we wait on him and we come to him, like Jesus said, come unto me, and we're quiet and we turn it over to him and we give it to him and we're patient and we're quiet and all trust and all the words that y'all said, We get that added power, our added strength from Him. So we need to wait on the Lord. We need to come to Him. Now, I want to point one other thing out, and we're going to move on. You notice it was very specific about who He said to come to, wasn't it? It wasn't a place. See, as much as I hate to tell people that, you know, from a preacher standpoint, a pastor standpoint, trying to get as many people in the church as possible, I still have to be honest with you. Jesus didn't say, come to church and I'll give you rest. He didn't say, come and go to your small groups, go to your Sunday school, go to your Bible study groups and I'll give you rest. He didn't even say, go to His Bible, did He? He said, come to Me, a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who we come to. Now, don't misunderstand me. Those other three things are good to go to. Amen? I want to encourage you to keep going. Keep going to coming to church. Keep going to your small groups. Keep going to the Bible. But Jesus, what the point He's making here is that He is the one that it has the ability to tap into that supernatural power, that ability, that strength to get us through the day, or really get us beyond the day, to get us where we're not having that stress. It's not a matter of doing, it's a matter of coming. We come to God, we come to the Lord, and we give Him those things. Okay, so the first one is that we come. The second thing, if you'll notice, it says there is take, isn't it? What are we supposed to take? Well, what we need to do, He says, take My yoke upon you. He said, come to Me if you're tired and you're weary and you're heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. And then He says, take My yoke upon you. Now, the problem here is we don't understand what a yoke means. So I'm going to tell you the answer, and then I'm going to explain it to you. What goes in that blank is what we need to take. We need to give up control. That's what goes in that blank. If you want to have the load lightened, then you need to give up control. Now, here's what I'm talking about. As we live our lives, we have this idea a lot of times. We have this philosophy that if anything's to be, it's up to me. If anything's going to get done, I got to do it. And the truth of the matter is most of the time, that's what gets it messed up. What we need to do is release control. We need to give control to God. Now, like I said, the reason we don't usually think of that right along in here is because our idea of a yoke. Because I'll be honest with you, when you first look at this, you think, why in the world? I barely got enough energy to take what I've got now. Why would I want to take on God's yoke? Why would I want to take on Jesus' yoke? It doesn't make sense. But it's because we don't understand what a yoke is. You see, what a yoke is a wooden beam that attaches two farm animals together, and it basically divides the load. Now, this is not a harness. A harness or a saddle you put on an animal, and that animal bears the whole entire weight of that. But that's not the purpose of a yoke. A yoke is a wooden device that, when built correctly and fitted correctly, it divides the load right in the middle. You have a 1,000-pound load. If it's done right, you have two animals. Each animal only has to bear 500 pounds. That's what a yoke is. It's not a harness. When you are overburdened, then you take upon a yoke. Now, there's another thought here, and I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that's all right. And that is, you're thinking, yeah, but I have to have my load, and I have to help carry Jesus' load? He's God. Does He have a load? No, He has no load, does He? So you're not adding an additional burden on. You're getting relief for your burdens that you're carrying. And that's why it's important. So what does the yoke symbolize? Well, two things very quickly. One, it symbolizes a partnership. When you put a yoke on two animals, they become partners and they share in a load. Jesus is telling you, listen, if you will come to Me and if you will take on My yoke, then I'm going to come shoulder to shoulder with you, and I'm going to help you carry the burdens that you have. And in case you haven't thought of it already, I'll just remind you, Jesus can carry a whole lot more than you and I can carry. Amen? So when we have him as our partner for sharing those things, then the load is definitely lightened. Now, there's a second part to that. The idea about this yoke, it represents a partnership, but it also represents control. You see, when the farmer puts a yoke on two animals, he is in control of those animals at that point. He directs them. He guides them. He puts them in whatever direction and whatever way he wants them to go. They have to relinquish control for that yoke to work right. And y'all see the illustration, don't you? The same thing applies to us. If we're going to put on his yoke, which is lighter, then we need to understand that we need to give him control. That's the hard part, isn't it? Amen? The hard part is giving him control of those things. Because we get the feeling like, well, I can take care of this, God. You're busy, so I'll just deal with this. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's sharing it with us. So it's a symbolism of partnership. It's also symbolism for control. Now, I have another couple blanks there. When I'm yoked with Jesus, with Christ, we move together in the same direction and at the same pace. Now, I just put that on there because I want you to realize that's what that's talking about that yoke. When you're yoked with Christ, when you turn over control to him, that means you're going to go the same direction he's going, and you're going to go the same pace that he's going. You're not going to run ahead. You're not going to lag behind. You're going to go the same pace that Jesus went. Isn't it interesting? My notes here say never, ever, ever. But I'll tell you, I searched through it for pretty good. Not one time in God's word have I ever found where it says Jesus ran to a place. Or Jesus was in a hurry to get to a place. Have y'all found it? Have y'all found that anywhere in God's word? As a matter of fact, we have just the opposite, really, don't we? Some sisters come to him. I mentioned this morning, I think. Some sisters come to him and say, hey, our brother is sick. This wasn't just any brother, was it? This was probably one of Jesus' closest friends. They said, man, he is sick. And it said 3 days later, he made it there. Well, I always tell you all that part. I don't know if I've ever told you. Anybody know how far away Jesus was from where Lazarus was? 3 miles. That's how far Jesus was away. When the sisters came and found him, he was 3 miles away from where Lazarus was at. And it took him 3 days to get there. I don't know about y'all, but that doesn't sound like somebody that's going to hurry and going to run someplace. How about y'all? It doesn't sound like it to me. Now, I've told y'all why. I believe that God had a better plan. The sisters wanted Jesus to heal a sick man. The father wanted him to heal a dead man. And I think that's the reason, but that's my opinion. But I do know that Jesus never got in a hurry. So what does that tell me? And what does that tell you? Every time I find in my life that I am running behind and I'm getting a hurry, that's when I start having stress, isn't it? Are y'all with me on that? Amen? Every time I feel like I'm rushed, that's when it feels like the load gets heavier, doesn't it? So we need to understand, we need to go at God's pace. If we're yoked with him, we're going to go in the same direction, and we're going to go in the same pace that Jesus went. Now, there's one other thing that I want to bring out, and that is we all know that Jesus was a carpenter. What you may not know is that in that day and time, well, let me back up. Today, when we talk about somebody's a carpenter, we think about buildings, don't we? That they're building buildings. Would you be real surprised if I told you in that day and time, more so than building buildings, what carpenters built was farm equipment. Was yokes for animals, harnesses for animals. So when Jesus said, listen, come and take upon my yoke, he says something very interesting to me, and he says that my yoke is easy. Now, I'll be honest with y'all, I struggled with that for a long time. I thought, easy? Because see, I'm sitting here looking at y'all, and I'm looking out this out the back, the glass doors there, and the one picture that I can see is Jesus with a cross on his shoulder. That pretty well sums up when I think about his yoke to carry. But he said it's easy. And I thought, man, I can't justify that there's something wrong with that verse, because I think every verse is inspired, perfect the way it is. So it has to be my understanding of it. Well, I finally figured it out. It's that word easy. When we think of the word easy, we think that something is simple, light, not complicated, right? What is it, the easy button? Isn't that the commercial? The easy button just means, boom, it's done. That's not what easy means in this verse. Now, I don't think I gave you a blank for this, but you might want to write it down. The word easy literally means perfectly fitted. Perfectly fitted is what that word easy means. Now, why would Jesus use that word? Well, it's because all of his life of growing up, he was about building yokes that were perfectly fitted. They'd bring their animals to him, they'd measure them, and they'd get a rough thing, and they'd get a yoke that was partially built, and then they'd bring the animals, and they would put it, size them again, kind of like getting measured for a suit or whatever, and then they would shave this part off and shave that part off until the yoke fit those two animals perfectly. That's what that word easy really means. Perfectly fitted. So now with that in mind, I go, oh, Jesus says, take on my yoke, for it is perfectly fitted for you and for you and for me. Now I begin to understand that's how the load can be lighter. Because I come to him and I turn over control to him, and when I do that, I turn control over to him and I take on his yoke, and it's a yoke that he has perfectly fitted for me. Now, is that cool or what? That's bound to relieve some stress in our lives, amen? When we can get something that we can exchange all these other things that are in our life. And the truth of the matter is, you don't have just one yoke. You've got dozens of them when you're taking care of everything, don't you? You've got dozens of burdens that you carry. And he said, listen, drop those things. Bring them to me and drop them here. And then pick up my yoke and put it on. And it's going to fit you perfectly. It's going to be pre-designed so that you don't have to carry as much as that you've been carrying, that I can help you carry it. Third thing he says, we need to learn. Verse 29, it says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What do we need to learn from him? Well, let me just tell you, we need to learn to trust him. That's what goes in that blank. We need to learn to trust. Now, I don't know if there's anybody else, but when I read that thing, I thought, you know what, God? There's a lot of things I would like to learn from you about relieving stress in my life, but gentle and being gentle and humble is not one of the things I thought about. That's not the first thing that comes to my mind that I would like to learn. I'd like to learn a lot of stuff, but being gentle and humble, I think I'd like to learn courage and stamina, confidence and strength, and power and self-assurance. Those are things I'd like to learn. But being gentle and humble, until you understand what those two words mean. Basically, those two words mean that we are totally dependent upon God. When we learn to be gentle and humble, then we learn to be totally dependent on God. See, if there was ever a person that walked this earth that was totally 100% obedient and humble to the Father, it was Jesus, wasn't it? He said, "All I do is what the Father tells me, and I don't worry about anything else." He said, "I'm not into crowd pleasing. I'm not into working the odds. I'm not into all those other things. All I do is what the Father tells me to do." Now, how many of you think that might relieve some stress in your life if we all had that attitude? If all we ever did, we just worried about the audience of one, and that's God the Father, it would sure relieve the stress, wouldn't it? And that's all that Jesus was saying that he was doing. He said, "I'm not going to try to please everybody. I'm just going to work and do what the Father tells me to do. I'm going to do what Father tells me to do is the most important thing. I'm not going to worry about all the rest of this other stuff." That's my advice. That's Jesus' advice. That's the example that he gave us. "Come unto me. Take upon yourself my yoke. And just learn to trust me. Learn to turn it over to me." We get a lot of invitations this time of year, don't we? Invitations to weddings, invitations to birthday parties, invitations to dinner. Those are all, I like those invitations. But I just challenge you to find a better invitation than to come to me, all ye who are weary and overloaded and stressed out, and I'll give you rest. And all we have to do is take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And he says, when you do those three things, see, I don't even have to come and make this real creative. He says, doesn't he? "You will find rest for your soul, for my burden is easy and my burden is light." See, I know in each of our lives, and you may be here this morning tonight, and you're thinking, "You don't even know. I am right at the breaking point." And you're right. I don't know, but God does. And he says, "If you'll come, if you'll take, and if you'll learn, then the stress level goes way down." Now, let me just end with this, and I really want to see a show of hands on this. How many of you would be happier with a lower stress level than what you have in your life right now? Well, that's asking for those, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and we thank you. And we ask you to help us to do those things that will reduce the stress in our lives. Help us to drop our burdens off by you, to give you those burdens. Help us to just take upon that perfectly fitting yoke that you have for us. That means we don't have to worry about what everybody else wants us to do. We just have to worry about the audience of one, and that's you. And then we just learn to trust you. You will relieve those burdens. You will lighten that load, and we will be in partnership with you in carrying that load. Help us to do that. We'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor. It's in your name that we pray it. All of God's people said, amen.